Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brendan Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heeds it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Bob on, he just dumps it off for a first down. Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
Hour number two of the program. It's Optional right here on Fan Run Radio. Chance Collins, Trey Wallace, Brendan Johns. Taking a moment right now. Going to get former Tennessee Basketball's assistant coach Rob Lanier on the line. Now the new, excuse me. Man, that never happens to me. Had a little tickle in my throat. Now the new head coach for Georgia State. Trying to get him on the line right now. Great stuff in the first hour, like I said, with Aaron Torres breaking down everything that happened with Rick Barnes. Seems that we do have Coach Lanier on the line.
Yeah, excited to have you on. It's really good. And reached out to Georgia State and wanted to go through the proper channels. And I'm excited because he's also now coaching in my conference, which is the Fun Belt as well.
The Fun Belt.
So I'm excited. Coach Rob Lanier joins us now. Rob, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the new job down at Georgia State. It's a big time job for you. I'm excited for the conference that you were able to be a part of as well with Georgia State and everything they're doing with their facilities. How the first couple days been on the job down in Georgia?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been exciting. As you can imagine, it's been a whirlwind. But this is one of the more fun times about making a transition to a new place because you do so much relationship building, putting together a new staff, and you develop a camaraderie there. And you're getting to know the players and then getting to know the people in the environment. There's great people. Going to be working with some awesome people throughout the department, throughout the university. And then Atlanta is just a great city to learn, and there's so much to learn there. So a lot of excitement.
Going back to this last season, with Tennessee basketball in your whole time in Knoxville, before we dive into the basketball part of it, what was your feelings on the community of Knoxville, the people in the areas, and all the fans that came out and supported you guys, and also the ones that maybe you got to meet by doing community events and whatnot with the family? What was your overall takeaway from your time here in East Tennessee?
Well, I right now I think of it as home. I really do. Our business, creates a sort of a lifestyle where moving around with your family becomes the norm. And it's hard to ever really feel settled, at least that's been my experience. Some people have been really fortunate to be at places for very long times. But my kids were teenagers when we came to Knoxville. And they immediately connected with the community and had a great circle of friends. And, when your kids get involved in activities and great schools around great people, then those people come into your life. So that made us feel at home because their comfort, and they think of Knoxville as their hometown now. And then the connection that the community has with UT it's hard to describe to people outside of the area because, you know, Knoxville is a great city and a great community in its own right, complemented by the university. And a lot of college towns, it's the other way around where it's, you know, it's just the university and everything revolves around that. It's, you know, two entities that really go great together, if that makes sense. And so, you know, being a part of the institution and all of the great people there. And then when you start talking about sports, I mean, the most passionate fan base that I've ever personally been a part of. And as a basketball coach and as a coach in any sport, I think the more you put into it, the more you appreciate a fan base that appreciates what you do. And so we were able to have that experience and then have my family have a great experience. I just couldn't ask for anything more.
When you look back over the last four some odd years and more, in the time that you were with Rick Barnes as well, what this group of players that you coached and had the privilege to be around, they had a privilege to be around you, what was it about this team, these group of seniors and even underclassmen that captivated a community? Was it their ability to just almost feel like normal players and feel like family to a lot of fans out there and supporters of the basketball program? What in your mind made this group so special and was able to captivate a community?
I talk about this a lot. You know, I think sports is unique because fans have the ability to compartmentalize. And when their team is winning, they can take some undesirable behaviors and sort of set them aside for the greater success of the team. And I think anytime you have a group where you don't have to compartmentalize any negativity at all, and you can be 100% proud of the people that are representing your favorite team or your favorite program or your favorite school, it heightens the connection.
Yeah.
When you can see yourself through that, when you're proud to be represented by people that you would, you know, you might let them date your daughter. You know, you know, when Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield are at the forefront of a program and they embody all of the principles that you espouse in your personal lives, that these are the kind of people that you would want to connect with in your personal life. When those are the people out there dunking the ball and making shots and winning championships, I think it makes for a deeper connection.
Coach Lanier, you know, quickly, I just wanted to ask you, you know, a lot of people were thinking, you know, you've been with Coach Barnes you were with him for almost 10 years, and then, you know, with Tennessee building everything now, back in the spotlight nationally. What made this the right time to take the head coaching job, and also what made Georgia State a good fit for you?
Well, first of all, I didn't see it coming. I planned on, you know, I have a son who's going to be a senior at the Webb School next year, a daughter who's going to be a junior. So there was no intention on our part, just looking forward as a family. You know, we were hoping that we'd give ourselves a chance to win national championship this year and build on that and keep doing it for as long as we could. And I've always looked at my role at Tennessee to try the best I can, at least, to take as much off coach's plate as possible so that he can go out and be the great coach that he is and try not to bog him down with things that he shouldn't have to deal with. And I felt like that was my role, and I enjoyed that role, and I enjoyed the trust and the relationship that he and I have always had. We lost to Purdue, and I was driving back with my family from Louisville to Knoxville, and I got a call that said, would you like to meet with the president and the AD? And generally, there is a phone interview that would lead to a face-to-face interview, and I'm getting a call saying, all right, it's Friday. On the ensuing Monday, would you like to meet with the president and the AD face-to-face? And not really knowing much about the job other than from afar, seeing that they've had success and they've won, but I really didn't know that much about it. I said yes. And because I didn't have much intention on or thought about leaving Tennessee. I went into the interview kind of feeling like I was in a really good position because, and so I challenged them. They responded, and the dialogue started to go down a path that really got me excited. And I started to hear their vision about what they want for the program. And it started more and more to feel like a great opportunity. And the next night, I had a contract in my hands and a decision to make. And everything was happening so fast that I had to tap the brakes and say, well, you guys are going to have to wait until my wife sees this place and she looks you in the eye. And at this point, we hadn't even had a chance to talk to our children. And we tried to do these things as a family. But it was happening so fast. But we went back, and she got a chance to see everything. I got a chance to see everything. And there's it's a very progressive, forward-thinking group of people that are leading the institution and the athletic programs. And they were looking for someone to lead them along the way in basketball. And a $75, $80 million arena is going to be built, going to break ground in October. And they want somebody to lead them into that. And all of these things were happening. And the city of Atlanta, very vibrant and exciting place to live, to recruit to learn. And it just got more and more exciting the more that we learned. And it just felt like an opportunity that we couldn't pass up.
And Coach, last one for me. You've been with Coach Barnes a lot, and we've heard from players. You know, we've seen where Tennessee was before you got here, before you guys got here, where Tennessee is now, and even like the players, how they matured. I want to know, how have you matured as far as, and what will you take on your journey as head coach of Georgia State that you've learned from Coach Barnes? So we know what he does off the court for the community spiritually, and how he turns, you know, these boys into men. You know, he really does do that, and we've heard all the success stories. So what will you take on your journey as a head coach from your time with Coach Barnes?
Well, that's easy, and I've thought about this a lot. You know, like before I signed a contract, the last person I talked to, and the reason I hadn't signed it up to that point, because I hadn't talked to him yet. And I knew how he would handle the call, but I was still nervous to make it because he's my man, you know. And I knew it was going to be hard to leave him, you know, because I know Coach Barnes loves me and loves my family. And it's very seldom that you work for someone that you feel that way about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, not
absolutely.
That we just enjoy working together. I know the guy loves me. I know it. My wife knows it. My kids know it. And the biggest thing is that as I'm putting together a staff and their families are moving, I want to pour into them the same way. I want the people that work for me and represent this program to know I care about them and care about their families, because I know the impact that that has on how people work for you and the way they feel about representing you. And Coach knows he can go to sleep at night and I got his back, because I know he cares about me. And so if there's anything that I want to emulate, and I don't think you can fake that, but I do know the value in it, and I learned that directly from him.
Coach, two more questions, and I'll let you go, and I really appreciate you joining us. Going back to the last week here in Knoxville, and I just love your input on this, and you don't have to get into personal details, but when a school like UCLA contacts Coach Barnes, and we all know his past with UCLA and Coach Wooden, how hard was that decision? Do you honestly think it was for Rick Barnes to try to decide if he wanted to go to a school that maybe he always dreamed of? And it's one of those bucket list type of things, but also staying at a university that he's built up so much for and has built up around the community. What do you think that process was like from him, from your standpoint?
I know it was tough because we talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, and we were up to 1 a.m. one of those mornings talking about it. You know, he's. I think you guys know this in dealing with Coach or following him, that he is a real dude.
Yes, sir.
You know, he's very comfortable in his skin, and he's honest. And you know, I know he's got a great passion, respect and appreciation for that community. I don't think there's a better fit between a coach and a community anywhere in college basketball than the fit and connection between East Tennessee and Rick Barnes. I think it is absolutely great, and he's aware of that, and he's happy with that. But, again, I think you just said it. You know, I don't know if it's a bucket list thing or whatever, but I think everybody, when you get in those situations and somebody wants you and you get into a dialogue, you hear them out.
Yeah.
And when you get 65 and you're in a profession that is can be unforgiving, you have a moment where you think about yourself and what you've always wanted. And, you know, I think one of the hardest things for coach is to do that, is to think about himself.
Yeah.
Because his whole career, he always has made decisions based on how they're going to impact everyone else. And so that was a huge challenge for him when he and I talked about it. Is, you know, I'm saying, well, hey, man, I don't know what's best for you. You only know. But maybe for a change you do what's best for you and you don't think about anybody else. But I don't think he can do that. And that's why he's so special, and that's why he belongs there. Because I think it's that disposition that he has that makes him such a great fit for that community. And at the end of the day, that's where he belongs, and he knows that.
That's a great take. Last question, Coach, on your way out, and I appreciate it. When you look back at Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and even players like Lucas Campbell and Brad Woodson, what in your mind in the runs that you guys went on and the crazy games in Nashville and the SEC tournament, what are some of your fondest memories from a basketball standpoint that you'll take away from being involved in Tennessee? And is there any game, and I know it's hard to break down, but is there any game in particular that you were like, wow, you know, I'm getting to experience this right now and seeing these guys play so well?
You know what? It's funny you ask that, because I have, like, the games that stand out, and I plan on watching them at some point.
Yeah.
But, like, I got a job now.
Yeah.
I don't have time to do it, but. But I had saved some games that I was looking forward to watching, you know, in the off season while I was at Tennessee still, so that I could just kind of enjoy, you know, and kind of process what happened.
Right.
And I really haven't had the opportunity to do that. And at some point I'd like to, but listen, those guys, one of the most gratifying things I think as a coach is to have the experience of trying to get kids to buy into a vision and seeing them do that and have that all come to fruition outside of winning it all, but putting ourselves in a position where we really could do something special. If there's one thing that stands out right now, it's the Georgia game last year after the game.
Okay.
That scene on the court after we won the regular season SEC title, even though we did great things this year, you know, the Gonzaga game and the Kentucky games and the comeback in the SEC tournament. But that feeling on the floor, I'm not a really emotional guy when it comes to, like, you know, win a game, I shake hands and move on. I feel great. But that was probably the most Now, senior night, I was crying like a baby.
You
know, guys,
yeah.
I was emotional then.
Yeah.
But that feeling on the floor after the Georgia game and seeing our guys cut down the nets and the fans staying around after that, like, I really felt like, wow, what a special place that we get an opportunity to represent and a connection with the fan base. You know, you remember several years ago, Coach said, I want us to create a love affair with our fans.
Yep.
And I really, in that moment, I was like, wow, this is really becoming a love affair, and I hope that this group will be remembered for a long time.
I'm pretty confident they will too, Coach. I'm sure some banners will be raised as well. So, and I'm sure you'll be back here potentially when, if you have the time, whenever that does happen in the future. I urge everybody out there to go visit a website that you're involved in as well, and that's coachspeaks.net. We talked about that actually before the season even started, and I visit that site, and I think you do a great job. And the one thing I've asked of you, Coach, before you leave, I need you to take it easy on my South Alabama Jaguars. That is my school. So if you could, you know, whenever you get down to the Mitchell Center, I look forward to being there in Mobile whenever you coach. I'll make it a bucket list thing to get down there whenever you coach at South. But, man, you got to take it easy on my Jags, Coach. Okay, they hold a soft place, buddy.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you, Coach. Great luck to you. Georgia State, I think that's a fantastic school. They're putting a lot of money into the athletics down there. I think it's going to be a great situation for you. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and I hope we can do this thing again.
Sure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach. Be blessed.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach Rob Lanier, fantastic interview. Just really great insight into everything that's gone on
good
in the last
stuff.
4.5 years.
Good stuff.
With him. And if he could take the chill out on the butt whippings down there at South Alabama, I'd really appreciate that, because I'm sure he's going to have Georgia State rolling here in the next few years. Let's take a break. We'll cut up that interview. We'll post that interview here in just a little bit. Hope everybody got a chance to listen to it. If not, you can go back and listen to the podcast form here in just a bit. We'll be back on the other side. It's Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Optional Fox Sports Knoxville. Running along here. Appreciate Coach Rob Lanier joining us. Man, that was a darn fantastic interview.
That was good stuff.
Really good.
You know what this song's from?
Forrest Gump.
I don't know. You just always. You hadn't done it in a while. It's good, though.
I don't know what the hell it's from.
I just
from.
Love this song. You know what it's from?
It's, like it's your, from something.
This is your thing for me. Any war movie you can watch, it's what it's from.
Tropic Thunder?
Probably.
Somebody, what Brad Rose said, that would be to make NASCAR great again. That is Trey's affiliation. Thank you.
NASCAR absolutely. Great again, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's not. No.
No, that's not my fault that you guys aren't into it.
No, it's NASCAR's fault. I used to watch it more.
You guys
actually.
Would
oh, yeah,
it
dude.
Nowadays if,
no doubt.
If it was.
I was a big Earnhardt fan.
I want no rules. Like, if you can do it to the car to make it go faster, you should be allowed to.
Oh, God.
Oh, I want it free for all.
Appreciate Coach joining us again. We'll have that interview up here shortly. He'll have that interview up here shortly. Let me rephrase that.
It's up.
Before Brandon gets. Well, that's dude. Tennessee State committee to discuss college tuition and fees. We're talking about hiking the fees up there.
Oh yeah,
happens
gotta
every
pay,
year.
Gotta pay for the coaches' salaries.
Happens every year though.
What are we hiking it for this year? Gotta pay Holly's buyout.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's every year.
Holly Jolly Harper.
No, yeah. Holly Jolly. God, Kelly Jolly Harper. Kelly, whatever her name is.
You called her Holly Jolly Harper.
Coach Harper. Coach Jolly Harper. No.
KJH.
Yeah. Kelly Jolly Harper. Say it with me. Kelly Jolly
Harper. Kelly Jolly
Harper. There you go.
I want to send a shout out to Christian Abercrombie. Abercrombie. Remember him? TSU.
Yeah.
Got paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. He's back
short
on
time.
The field.
Yeah, and he's also going to be calling out a Titans draft pick next week.
Nice.
In Nashville. And that city has been taken over by the NFL.
Well, that's what.
I mean, taken over. Can you imagine the madness on Broadway? On Thursday or Friday night?
Imagine it.
I think it'll be crazier if the Predators go to a Stanley Cup final, because the Titans are going to be terrible.
Would they play? Let's see. So they play Saturday back in Nashville. They'll play
two
games.
It wouldn't be
won't
Stanley
overlap.
Cups. Yeah, it will not overlap.
Stanley Cup playoffs?
They got that logistically worked out where it's not going to overlap.
The Stanley Cup players wouldn't overlap?
Well, they might. Well, I think.
Home games for the Preds.
Yeah, more than likely, it's not going. I don't think it's going to overlap. Then they got it worked out
play,
to where it wouldn't.
They play two games at home, two games in Dallas. So they go 1-1-1 now.
Exactly.
So it could. If they
one game.
If they yeah, Saturday.
But this game.
And they would go back to Dallas.
But this
Dallas
series,
won on Tuesday. Probably come back Friday.
This series is going to probably go to like 7 games, so they probably won't overlap. They'll work it out. The NHL will push it back.
No, I think if they have
The NHL would have to push it back. The NFL's not going to tear down their whole set just to put it back up.
You can hold a Preds game at the same time as the draft. You can't.
I don't know if you can.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
I guess you could.
It's at different venues. You know this, right?
Yes. Aren't they? Is that where they have a stage or something at Bridgestone, though?
Like, no.
When they're like,
no,
it's some
just
fest?
It's just on
well,
Broadway.
Well, then, yeah, there's no issue.
Right. Let's go to the phone lines. Go to Philly. Philly, good afternoon to you, my brother. How are you?
What do you say, Trey?
Man, just living a dream and just enjoying life, buddy. How about you? What's up?
How are you and Chance and Brandon doing?
I'm doing well. I don't know how they're doing. It seems like they're doing pretty good.
Are you doing well, Trey?
Yeah,
are you
doing good. Well? Yeah, I got an exciting night ahead of me to get quizzed on. I look forward to this.
Yeah, you're going to read the Miller
Report. Trey, how come they call you War Eagle? What's all about?
Because I had two little brothers that went to Auburn, and I'm from Mobile. So they think because my two little brothers that went to Auburn that I would support Auburn. And then, you know, my dad is a, you know, full disclosure, my dad's been a season ticket holder in Tennessee for 28 years.
Well, you're a Red Sox fan because you have a brother that lives in Boston.
No, I just watch them every now and then because they get happy whenever they win. So, you know.
Well, the Yankees beat them last night, though.
That was ugly.
There's a lot of bad bullpens in baseball. I don't want to talk about that today. But
yeah.
I enjoyed y'all's interview with Coach Lanier. It's a shame that they don't have more of these assistant coaches talking more than they did when Pearl was here. But Tony Jones and Forbes are phenomenal on the radio.
I agree. I agree. I reached out to I think we're going to have Kim English on Monday.
Well, great.
Yeah, I know. But I do understand what you're talking about because these assistant coaches are almost the lifeline to the community as well, Philly.
Exactly. But that being said, you said you had Aaron Torres on the first hour. Did he say anything about Preb recruiting? I didn't hear your first hour.
Say it one more time. I'm sorry.
Did he talk anything about Knoxville basketball Preb recruiting?
Not so much. He talked a little bit about the Rick Barnes and UCLA stuff. He talked a lot about the Nike Summit camp. And,
yeah.
And like, you know, kind of expectations.
That's what I meant, the Nike camp.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
About a lot,
yeah,
about
he did.
That.
Did he mention any players from Knoxville?
No, he didn't. He really went into Wiseman from down in Memphis, thought he had a decent showing. But kind of, I wanted to know kind of, you know, the whole backstory of the Nike Summit, what goes into it. Probably get him on. We could talk about the recruiting part of it next week. But, you know, they have that Portsmouth League as well going on for, you know, seniors that I think Adidas puts on, if I'm not mistaken, but a bunch of different leagues right now and a bunch of different little summits to try to get these guys ready to go to college or hell, NBA, whatever they're trying to do. It's pretty fascinating, Philly.
Yeah, they had a big thing in Chicago last weekend, too. I don't know if he went to that or not. I just want to know. I know a lot of the Bobby Mays elite players played in that event. Y'all ought to get Bobby Mays on. That'd be a good guess for you.
I will. I'll actually reach out this week and see if we can have him on next week. Let me ask you a question, Philly. You follow it a lot. You've been here a lot longer than I have. What is the ceiling when it comes to this area, East Tennessee, high school basketball, you know, big time recruits?
Phil, tell you, there's a lot of talent here.
I've seen around here in a long time.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of getting at.
I think football and basketball are both improving immensely in the last 10 years in the Knoxville area.
What, in your mind, what's the last big player to come out of this area?
What, basketball?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, like just big time and went and made a difference in the league and everything.
Jalen Steele.
Ooh, wow. That's a name that takes me back for a minute. That makes, yeah. I would agree with
now,
you. I would agree
these,
with you on that.
These guys from Bearden, they may end up being good. Now, Lee Humphrey was good. Of course, that was before Jalen Steele, wasn't it?
That was, actually. Yeah, that's a good point.
But there's two or three players at Catholic that will probably be Division I players.
It'll be interesting to see. What's your opinion coming out of spring ball this weekend, Philly?
We don't have a quarterback, and we don't have an offensive line. Our defensive line, I don't know. We'll be lucky to go 6-6. I mean, of course, you can't say anything out of a spring game, but I'm not very encouraged by what I saw.
Billy, don't you know I talked to a guy the other day, big orange glasses on, tried to tell me Tennessee was a 9-3 team.
What was that, Bear Bryant said that?
I didn't want to call him out, but hey, walks like a duck, talks like a duck.
A
must
9-win
be the bear.
Team.
Yeah, 9-win team.
Well, that's something else.
Something else.
Philly,
exactly.
what other spots, man? I mean, we're kind of going back and forth on this. What other spots besides quarterback worry you? I mean, I know offensive line's an easy answer.
I mean, yeah. I don't think we have a stud running back either. I mean, we got some decent running backs, but we don't have anybody could play, you know, 10 to 15 years ago on Tennessee roster they had back then. I mean, Chandler's a decent running back, but he would be a scat back on a good team.
See, I think Chandler's really good. I think that he also, in a lot of games last season, he wasn't giving the ball enough. I think if he's like at Alabama or somewhere like that, they use his speed a lot more. I think he's being underutilized somewhat. I think he could be a playmaker. He's one of, you know, your three playmakers that you do have on offense, and it seems like sometimes they don't give him the ball in space like they should.
I agree, but I still think our quarterback position went in the major. It's either going to be Meyer or Harrison Bailey the following year if this program's going to go into another direction. Because if Jerry Garner-Cardinals, our quarterback, going into year three, Jeremy Pruitt will be on the hot seat.
He ain't going to make it.
I mean, wins he's got to have next year.
I think he got to go to a bowl game.
Got to go to a bowl game or he's on the hot seat in year three.
I mean, I'll go 7-5. I mean, I'm being realistic about it.
Jeez, goodness gracious.
You got to go to a bowl game, though.
One more thing, Trey. Why don't you and Bear Bryant have a segment on NASCAR? See you.
Okay, I will. I'll bring him in here in a minute, and I'll just piss off Chance and Brandon, and honestly, I really don't care.
Hey, didn't really feel like taking an early day at the office.
I've had it.
If I'm forced to, I guess I'll have to.
I've had it. Hey, get to stepping on me.
You guys going to do another NASCAR segment? At least do it closer to the race, right? Like, you know, the day before the race. Like, it's
not. No, there's not. It's Easter weekend.
All right.
Next weekend's Dega.
See, even Jesus had to take a break off of NASCAR. Even Jesus had to take a break from NASCAR.
Man, that's.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You said there's no Easter, right? So even Jesus had to take a break from NASCAR. Let's go ahead and take
us on the seventh day. He rested.
Yeah, he rested from NASCAR.
Take a break. We'll be back on the other side. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.
Like this stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Riding around. Welcome back to It's Optional right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Raging right along here. Beautiful Thursday. Really is nice. Cooped up in the studio, but surrounded by all of you guys and all of you listeners. So that makes everything that much more better for us. Great stuff from Rob Lanier. Really getting a lot of great feedback on that. James on Twitter says, really great interview. Trey Wallace, Chance Collins with Rob Lanier. Great, getting to listen to hear him speak. Kind of the same thing that Phil said, getting to listen to hear some of these assistant coaches be able to talk. You don't hear that often. And he was, you know, open about a lot of stuff. Sounds like a very humble guy and does sound like, you know, straight out off the Barnes' tree. You like to see that, though. His first stint as head coach was with Siena. I believe he was 58-70 there, not the greatest record. He had one NCAA tournament appearance. So, Georgia State, he takes over for R.G. Hunter, right? R.J.
Ron Hunter.
R.J. Hunter's dad. Ron Hunter, who took the job at Tulane. So, he had numerous tournament appearances down there at Georgia State. And like Trey said, all the money that they're putting into, and like head coach Lanier said, money into the new facilities, money they're really putting into their athletics. So that's good. It's good to see him not only go somewhere where he's going to get
a field too.
Yeah. Where he gets a second spot, but kind of just like, you know, maybe a redemption for Rob Lanier's head coach. So really
I love the
stuff.
Insight too. He was driving back from Louisville, you know, after that Purdue game with his family, gets a phone call from Georgia State. Hey, you want to chat Monday? You want to come down?
Yeah, like you said, normally you get a phone interview, then you're having a face-to-face, but he knew it was pretty serious. It sounded like
even your agent just reaching out saying, hey, they want to talk. It seems like you got the call, and they wanted to talk immediately Monday.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, they knew that they wanted him. And they got their guy, so really happy for him. That hate to see him go, but you love to see a guy get an opportunity like that, especially the second time around.
His website's really good too, coachspeak.net.
Yeah, it's coachspeak.net. Cool. Yeah, was like really good. Motivational things.
No,
like,
well, it's stories from head coaches and assistant coaches from all around the country. They're nice. Telling their stories. He gives them a platform.
Nice.
Which is very cool.
Something like the Players Tribune, but for coaches?
Yeah, exactly. Which is really neat. So, you know, a great guy, and he always has been. I look forward to hopefully having, I think we will, Kim English on Monday. So that would be good, getting a full background. You know, it is hard to see some of these coaches go because, you know what, you're not starting over, but when somebody gets attached to the community and somebody as nice as Rob, you know, it's not difficult for us media. But
you calling
fans,
him Rob now?
Yeah.
I like it. That's a big flex by you. I like it. Heavy flex.
Well, you don't call – You know what? The one thing I hate is like we're going to a press conference or something, yeah. And Philip Fulmer's there, and everybody, hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach Fulmer.
Coach, I got a question for you.
No, what's Coach? Hey.
It's Philip.
I would say
Philip.
I digress. So. Yeah, I was going to say once a coach, always a coach because my baseball.
Not to the media.
My baseball coach is back home still to this day, and one of them is actually the county mayor of the town, the Montgomery County where I'm from. Don't call him County Mayor Ray. Call him Coach Ray every time I see him to this day. Even like on like a Facebook comment, if he comments on something, I say Coach Ray.
Yeah.
To the day. My buddy's dad, who's my basketball coach.
It's just like a sign of respect thing.
Yeah.
Not on a professional level.
I don't know. It's like a
title. I feel like once a coach, always a coach.
When Jeremy Pruitt's speaking over there at the facility, I think nobody's in there is asking him, hey, Coach, Jeremy, can you talk about this?
That'd be weird.
Nobody in there is saying, hey, Coach. Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach.
They
I love
they
you
don't
so
say
much.
Coach Pruitt?
No.
That's odd.
You hate to see it.
It's not odd. It's professional. It's a business.
You hate to see it.
It's a business.
You hate to see it. Like you can say, I feel like the.
It's the same as like a doctor. I feel like the big. I wouldn't call him Bob.
Yeah.
No, that's doctor.
He worked hard to be a doctor. I feel like these coaches.
Everybody else call him coach, but it's a business.
I don't know. I feel like I hear the big.
Media members don't call.
I feel like I hear the big journalists. Like, all right, so like, all right, Maria Taylor, good one right here. Solid. I never hear her when she's talking to Nick Saban. She always says, Coach Saban. She doesn't say, hey, Nick. Now, maybe like in a candid interview, maybe, but I still don't think I've ever seen that. It's always like, hey, Coach Saban. Like, they always like.
Because they're interacting with the viewers at home as well.
Press conference sometimes you are.
Cody! I need Cody McClure in here. I want to ask Cody this.
You want to ask Cody if it's weird
Cody
or not?
McClure, come in here.
Cody.
Come in here. Yeah, come in here real quick.
Your services are needed.
Take Brandon's mic from me. I want to ask something because you covered the team over there as well.
Trey said. No.
Is this some kind of journalist question?
I've covered the team as.
Yeah, this is gonna be
I've also covered the team
right,
over
no,
there.
No, I know that. I just. I'm
but, talking. Like, he's saying that, like, it's unprofessional to be like in a press conference, Coach Pruitt. They say Jeremy. I was like, I once a coach, always a coach.
You say at the press. Okay, it's okay. Okay.
Let me give you a little backstory. Trey was calling Rob Lanier. He's calling him Rob. And I was like,
during the interview.
No, not during the interview. I'm like, oh, so you're on a first name basis with Rob. He's like, yeah. I hate when people say coach.
You're saying being a coach gives you some special title?
Right, exactly. Thank you.
No, that's not what I said at all.
Yeah, but you're saying you have to call him when I'm in an interview. Okay, when I'm in an interview and I'm talking to Jeremy Pruitt, I'm going to ask him a question. I don't go, hey, Coach Pruitt. I go, Jeremy, can you talk about this and this and this?
Chance is saying it's a respect thing.
No, I'm not really saying – I just say – I'm not really saying it's respect. I'm just saying, like, most – I don't think it's not professional to say Coach Pruitt when you ask him a question. What's unprofessional about that? He said it was a professional thing.
You don't – you just – you don't
– I call him Jeremy. He's just some other guy just like anybody, I would think.
I'm not saying you have to call him Coach. I'm just saying, like, it's not
– And, like, multiple times during Philip Fulmer's press conference the other day
– I'm saying it's not deemed unprofessional –
said Philip.
If you were about to Philip Fulmer's on the podium, you calling him Philip or are you gonna say Coach Fulmer? You're probably going to say Coach Fulmer. I know you, Cody. You're going to say Coach Fulmer when he asks the question.
I don't know. It's a tough
He's in a professional role now. Like,
I might just ask the question. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You may not address. No, I understand that, too.
Like, I think the natural thing for me would be like, hey, well, maybe.
You wouldn't, but you wouldn't say, hey, Phillip, could you talk about this?
Maybe I would say, it sounds weird.
He didn't coach you. That's what I'm saying. He didn't coach you.
Boom. Booyah.
No, I get what you're saying. Booyah.
Cody.
As a journalist, we're not gonna, you're not gonna go to a press conference. If he didn't coach me, I'm not hey coach.
I think naturally I would say, hey coach, is this blah blah blah.
Thank you.
That would be the natural thing. But I wouldn't do it out of like a respect.
I didn't say it was a respect thing.
Like, I don't think coaches deserve just because they're coaches.
Yeah, me neither. You know what I mean? Me neither.
But I think my natural inclination would be to say, hey,
the only
coach,
respect
what do you
think thing I said was doctor. You always say doctor because they worked hard to be a doctor.
Yeah, I guess.
But the coach,
excuse me, athletic director, athletic director Fulmer.
My point.
Went to school for 8 years, so I got to refer to you as something special.
Well, Eric Sharp just came on and said, "I call my former coaches coach, but not the one that didn't coach me."
If a doctor does open heart surgery on me, I'd probably call him doc.
My only gripe was Trey was like, "It's unprofessional to be in that setting and say coach.
It's awkward. Like, I'm a 32-year-old man. I'm not going to look at Jeremy Pruitt and say, hey, coach, can you talk about this? Hey, Jeremy.
It must be a jock thing or something. Well, I'm saying coach.
Not
at
jock.
This point in my career, they wouldn't even
You're
let
saying,
me
hey,
the
coach.
Door now,
You're
so
saying coach Pruitt.
I don't know. They would see me coach and say,
Pruitt.
Dude, you got to get
coach.
The hell out of here.
It was a relaxed situation from the big
We're going to need security.
Jeremy. It's different if me and him are kicking around, like, you know, at the water cooler. I'd be like, what's up, Jeremy? You know? I don't want to sound like a fanboy.
I would refer to Coach Fulmer as my lord.
Oh.
Godfather.
Okay.
Your Grace.
May I ask a question?
Bear, since you're in here, you might as well jump on the exchange. What's unplanned for the drive later?
Yeah, what's up with the drive? NASCAR?
Big show. Really
big show.
Big show
lined up.
Okay.
Rocky
Top Report.
Let's get into that.
Rip the on docket. Bear a little bit.
Probably.
The docket. Jeopardy.
I don't know. We're still workshopping that.
Cody can tell you what your show prep is. Will you tell us what's going to be on the draft, Cody McClure?
You want me to tell you what's going to be on top?
No, Cody's going to tell us.
John's going to scream at Cody.
They have a top five.
He's going to have some horrendous cold takes about Game of Thrones. Talk more NBA. go to a break. Tease more NBA, and they're going to talk about the NBA.
It sounds like my type of guys.
Yeah. I'm sure you'd love the show. It's all NBA all the time.
What time are those guys on?
Can't wait to hear the top five at five today, Bear.
Appreciate it, Cody. Appreciate it, Bear.
Don't fool around with me, Cody.
Oh, God.
We got to take a break.
God love these guys. Let's take our last break of the day. Just wrap it up.
It's a whole mess of stuff right there.
It's optional.
Coach.
Fox. It's Jeremy. Go to break.
I feel like I need a guitar in my hand and some LSD.
No, it's just some acid.
Aren't they the same thing?
Yes.
Well, no.
Yeah. Thank you, Brandon.
Okay.
All your drug knowledge.
Yeah, let's say our local drug expert. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Tell them what's in the store today, Brandon. Let them know. Give out your cell phone number.
All right, just helping everyone out.
One-stop chop shop. Right. One-stop chop shop.
Brandon Johns is not just a producer, by the way.
Man of many talents. Man of many talents.
Oh, my God. We have news of the day, buddy? Anything special going on?
For full disclosure, I have never done that. So leave that out there.
Yeah, you need to put that out there.
My dad listens to
You never
the
know
show,
who could so. Be
no,
listening.
Full disclosure.
No, he doesn't
you never
do
know
that.
Who could be listening.
Right, yeah.
But it's time news for what day. You do, and that's news of the day.
Life moves pretty fast.
Jimmy.
You don't All stop
right.
and look around
what the
once
hell's
in a
going
while.
On today.
You could miss it.
He did a lot of LSD.
Starting from the
I
top.
I know Brandon did a lot of LSD. Keep going.
Negative. Start from the top. What is today?
Yeah.
April 18th is National Haiku Poetry Day.
Damn it.
National High Five Day.
Okay.
Ooh. National Lineman Appreciation Day.
Lineman?
Lineman.
Oh, okay. Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
the electrical
Like
lineman.
The phone yeah. line people do.
Right.
And
local
National
CWAs.
Velociraptor Awareness Day.
Hey.
I was waiting on this.
Are you a high five guy or are you a low five guy?
I'm a fist bump. Turns into a turkey.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I want to shake your nasty ass hands of people.
Okay.
Fist bump me.
Rather touch their fist, though.
Also,
knuckles.
As far as news of the day, the Mueller report is out. So everyone gets to go check that out.
Yeah!
You know, go have fun.
Good stuff.
Start reading.
Also, in some news, a Thai cave rescuer was saved after spending almost 30 hours in a flooded cave. Cave diving, never going to catch me.
Wait a minute.
Never going to catch me.
A Thai cave rescuer was saved?
Yeah, that's the headline. Diver Josh
Bratchley. They need to stay out of damn caves in Thailand.
Was rescued on Wednesday after he was trapped in a flooded cave for 28 hours in Tennessee. He is just Thai. But this was in Tennessee, apparently.
Oh, I remember reading this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was involved in the rescue for the Thai soccer players. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, he got trapped in a cave.
You know they get those kids ketamine?
Yeah, keep them calm.
You had to keep them calm because it's close spaces?
Yeah, dude. I wouldn't want them to freak out and suffocate.
You better knock me out if you're taking me out of here.
If parents give kids Benadryl for road trips, I think ketamine for a cave rescue's...
What are you giving me, a horse tranquilizer? Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. This day in history, 1906, 8.0 earthquake hit San Francisco, causing the San Francisco fire... Terrible things. And Bank of America came from that because that guy took all his money instead of putting it in the vault, which they couldn't open for days. He had his in his wagon, loaned it out, later became Bank of America.
And later it became a great movie called San Andreas starring Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, my God. You like San Andreas, too.
Also, no, I don't like...
Yes, you do.
This day, 2014, Mount Everest saw its deadliest day ever.
Also backed up with a story from Jake Gyllenhaal... And other characters as well.
What?
In a movie called Everest.
Oh, man. Another one of your favorite
movies. This day, 2012, Dick Clark, host of America's Bandstand and New Year's Rockin' Eve, passed away. R.I.P. Dick Clark.
R.I.P.
1983, suicide bomber destroyed the U.S. Embassy in Beirut.
Mm.
1775, Paul Revere.
It was 1775.
And lesser known, William Dawes set out on horseback to warn of the British attack.
Interesting.
Paul Revere gets all the credit.
Good news.
1915, Germans shoot down French pilot Roland Garros, who just so happened to be given the title of where the French Open's played in tennis, is named after him now.
I'll be damned. Good job today, Brandon.
Good job, Brandon.
Proud of you, man. That was some good stuff. Kind of depressing a little bit this day in history, the deaths right off the bat.
I'm proud of you every day, Brandon.
I appreciate that.
Appreciate suck up. Appreciate Aaron Torres joining us today. Thank you to former Vols assistant coach Rob Lanier for joining us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. The interviews are all up. Go take a listen. Thanks to Brandon for getting it done. For Chance Collins, Brandon Johns, I'm Trey Wallace. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow, Nick Bromberg joins us for 2 hours of NASCAR talk. Sorry, Chance. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye-bye.